Drupal Voices is a series of interviews with people contributing to the Drupal community. Brought to you by the 2011 Do It With Drupal Conference. This year's event takes place October 12th, 13th, and 14th in Brooklyn, New York. Come get practical advice and learn the site-building strategies of Drupal's top developers and hear from experts in emerging technologies such as IPTV and mobile app development. For more information and registration rates, visit doitwithdrupal.com.
Jeff Walpole, CEO at Phase 2 here at DrupalCon, and having a great time, and wanted to get a chance to talk to you guys about things you're doing and vice versa. So,
okay, and so talk a bit about, like, you guys just acquired all these distributions. So what's sort of like your long-term plan with having sort of all these distributions?
Yeah, great question. Question I've been getting a lot this DrupalCon. So in working with Development Seed, we pretty much came up with a model of starting to share what we do a little bit and spread out and let them continue to focus on the things that we all know they're amazing at, like visualizations and mapping and data things. And then let us take more of the platform side of it where, frankly, we already had economies of scale. We're already invested in two of the larger distributions as it is. And so my staffing model and basically our project management and the way that we do everything is already allowing us time to contribute to these things. And so we figured it was not a, we weren't doubling down by getting two more and going to four. We were maybe adding 30% to our workload or something, not including all the issue queues we're picking up with these modules. But for us, the long-term strategy and the reason we want to do this is that we're very vertically focused. So we do an awful lot in the public sector. We do an awful lot in publishing. And we now have a front-end distribution that addresses the needs of those clients. These two tools are back-end tools that complement those very nicely. So we can come in, we can do a full platform lift for, say, a large publisher and say, okay, you need the intranet project collaboration part of this, Open Atrium, it's Drupal. You need the front-end thing, Open Publish, it's Drupal. You need microsites or smaller sites or topic hubs or whatever, here's smaller Open Publish instances you can do. And our team can do a lot more of the sort of value-add consulting and the implementation work that we're really good at, and not spend as much of our time just building like content types and views and themes and things like that. We can spend a lot more time on either the integration work or the content strategy or something like that, where I think we get a little bit more value for the client, a little bit more experience for us. So long-winded answer, but it wasn't a simple decision. It was a very complex decision, but a lot of it really comes back to what we were already doing, getting a little bit more leverage and strength in the distribution, so we had, you know, 4 feet on the ground instead of two, and then we can go into a client site, a large client implementation, and say, hey, we can put all this together in a very large, nice platform of Drupal for you.
And so I guess the trade-offs and balance you kind of have to strike in your clientele is that either you're doing these huge enterprise sites like the government, for example, they're huge sites that you may be working on, and they often have custom data migration issues and all sorts of other issues to even get onto Drupal. And then by doing all these distributions, it seems like the niche market would be kind of like the sort of mid-scale sites that aren't as much overhead to get onto the system, but you could manage like many of them to scale. And you're kind of spreading to newspapers, to government, yeah, to internet sites. And so I'm just sort of curious like how your, what your focus is exactly.
Yeah, you know, that's really the hard part. And the problem with distributions in general is that we want to use them for the work we're already doing at the top level, more enterprise work, because they help us get a lift. But because they're so easy, they're onboards to Drupal for so many people, you actually end up having to focus on all levels of sort of investment. So where we traditionally ignored people who were, say, you know, below a certain dollar threshold, you know, the long tail, so to speak, very inexpensive things, we have to offer them some support, some help, something for these products. We have a commitment to support these things, not just from an open source perspective with the issue queues and the communities, but also with the commercial product itself, you know, if you will, the marketed product. You know, somebody says, hey, you know, I only got $5,000, but, you know, I got this community newspaper, but I really want to put it on Open Publish. I just don't know Drupal, and I got hung up. You got me 80% of the way there. I just need, like, you know, a couple days of help to get over the edge. And so that's actually where we're thinking about other partnerships and collaborations, you know, like you guys, like Lullabot, you know, so does Lullabot have a training offering that would help that guy who's, you know, 2 days, 4 days away from being able to get everything out of Drupal through OpenPublish? You know, and then things like, you know, Buzzer or Gardens, you know, maybe there's a point where that just doesn't make sense to do a distro because there is too much to learn. So that really, really low guy, we say, hey, there's a theme or a simple way to get started over here. So we're not turning anyone away from Drupal and saying, well, if you don't have a certain amount of money, no one's going to talk to you once you just do WordPress. We really want to have something with these distros that goes from the guy who has, you know, a penny in his pocket to all the way up to the big companies, but it makes it very hard strategically to focus. So we're going to have to rely on partnerships. So in the middle tier, we've been doing this packaging deal with Acquia around so that they get hosting and they get support from Acquia, and we don't really have to have a full customer touch. We just do a very light portion of the OpenPublish work, and we can do the same with OpenPublic or OpenAtrium or any distro. For us, the staffing size, that engagement doesn't have to be very big. It's a very, you know, for us, maybe it's a week's worth of work or something like that. If we can make that model work, then I think we can capture people on Drupal and, frankly, customers for us at all three levels. But my focus exclusively right now is ensuring that the distributions make sense through all those levels so that we're not just turning people away. That's a huge problem with these distributions.
I think another trend that I kind of see in the Drupal community is like this open source ethic of sharing, where they kind of put first the sharing of the code and sort of the business model or revenue streams almost like an afterthought. You know, it seems like Development Seed may have fallen into that trap where they realized, hey, you know, our company structure and our company culture really isn't kind of set up to do a services around this. We're really more interested in innovating and doing new things. So, like, what is it that you're doing different and kind of thinking a little bit more strategically as to, like, how to actually make this work as a viable business?
Yeah, that's a great question. And actually, I like the way you asked it because it more reflects the way I've been thinking about it. It is really, really easy to get caught up in building stuff, especially when you're accustomed to contributing modules and things. It's very easy to get caught up in the innovation side of it. It's very easy to say, well, we could just build this, it'd be really cool, and we'll worry about how we'll make money later because it's just open source. And then it's almost like the GPL excuse. You know, you fall back and go, well, it's GPL, so I couldn't have sold it anyway. That's not really true, right? We have to have business models for these things. And that's the focus of a talk that I gave yesterday, is how do we evolve to a point where the business model isn't the afterthought and that there's a strategy for all this stuff all along. I certainly don't have all the answers on that, but I can tell you from our perspective, we identify essentially 7 ways that we think we can make money. And the simplest of them is just pure time materials, you know, hourly rate stuff, which we all do. And we're all going to do for some period of time. And that gets progressively more complicated. And we looked at all open source models and commercial models. And I actually have a full-time product manager, 100% MBA, was a CEO of a company, and her focus is on this kind of stuff. And she has looked at all these models and said, you know, we can try this, and we can try this, and we can try this. So we're sort of committed to, with our distros, almost a trial and error approach. See what works, see what sticks. We're mixing it up a little bit. We're talking about apps now. We're talking about transactional costs. We're talking about partner referrals. There's 7 things, like I said. I mean, we're going to try some combination of all of them until we figure something out.
Well, it seems like this is almost like a warning to the Drupal community to kind of grow up in some way in terms of, you know, either you're going to do it or someone else is going to come in and do it and not have the same open source ethic of growing the community, but have a lot more fierce competition of those high profit margins that are there in the Drupal world right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I was talking about in this talk yesterday is, you know, it's only a matter of time. If you're in a market where you have negative employment situation, you have people that just can't find Drupal developers, you have people that are charging pretty good hourly rates, and you've got big boys coming in from the top, you've got outsourcing coming in from the bottom, you've got other CMSs and things coming in from the left and right, what you really want is a healthy ecosystem where we all work together now, where we already have this collaboration, this community, these friendships, frankly, that enable us to have open conversations. We figure out these business models ASAP before all that pressure starts to come down on us. And then we're forced in a situation where, you know, it was some big company that decided how this stuff gets monetized, not us. That's my concern. That's my fear. We're not trying to be that big company. We're trying to be the guys that help everyone figure out now how to make money so that when that happens, we've already evolved to be, frankly, a more robust and more mature community.
And so Robert Douglas a while ago sort of was fanning some flames into the Drupal community of like saying this idea of the App Store. He was kind of floating an idea. And he told me that he was kind of like privately pushing you guys to also pursue this idea of actually pulling off this App Store. And, you know, Lullabot did a whole podcast about exploring a lot of the positive aspects, the negative aspects. And, you know, Jared Spool in his keynote was just talking about features are growing so quickly that people at some point you're looking for an experience. And that's kind of like the apps are like looking for the experience of the features. But I guess some of the hesitation and worry of the Drupal community is that it fractionalizes the community. Why should I contribute to this if, you know, Phase 2 or Acquia is going to be the big fat cats just profiting off all of my hard work?
Yeah, no, those are very valid questions, and I think those are things we should be challenging. You know, a couple things that we struggle with is we want reusability and interoperability between our distros. It's really important to us. So with Open Public, for instance, which we just came out with, if this is going to work at, you know, city, state, federal, and international government levels, and, you know, one person creates module X or module Y, modules are too granular, they're too utility-based to make that an easy way to exchange. We need to start to develop standards around what the best way to do it. And features is obviously the right place to start. And as the maintainers of the features module, we want to see that become the de facto way that people say, oh, this thing pops out over here and you plug it in over there. That's really cool. That's the experience that Jared Spool is talking about that all of us are used to on our iPhone. So the next evolution, we think, is just pluggable apps. So it works. Everybody's used to that mechanism. It just makes sense to people. They want to be able to click it, install it, and have it work. And there's plenty of room for developers to still write all those modules and all that code. It can be done open source. It can be done for money. It kind of doesn't matter. It's the architectural components of being able to do that interoperability, and it's the user experience of having it be a one-click thing that we need. And I think, maybe I'm creating a beast that I don't understand, but I think, you know, my team has the right architectural ideas behind this. They're brilliant at how these distros work and all this. And from a business perspective, I think it just gets worked out anyway. I mean, I think people are going to come in and, you know, find ways to make money when there's a good market no matter what. Again, it's like, do we want that being done for us, or do we just want to invent it first and then, you know, essentially protect us from having that forced on us? The last thing I'll say, I had a lot of talks with developers. In fact, we talked to developers in our own company a lot, and my partner and my Frank Ferbera, our CTO, and I really thought about how this, and Robert thought about this a lot, how does it change the developer's job in the Drupal community? And I think the way that it's written right now, apps are just essentially groupings of modules. Like features, they're groupings of functionality that are packaged together in a simpler, better way. So really the module experience, the module development thing doesn't change at all. It's exactly the same. All the contrib modules are still out there. You're going to need those contrib modules. What it does is it adds another layer on top of it if you want to package those up as apps. And I think supply and demand and market conveniences and things will dictate whether people would be willing to pay money for that. And I think it's just different than saying it's, you know, it's not a binary thing. You're not saying you pay for it or you don't pay for it. You're saying you don't have to pay for the raw components, the modules, if you're Drupal savvy. And you can go out and download them, and you understand dependencies, and you know you got to install this thing and that thing to make this thing work. If you know how to do that, then no, it's just free. It's community work. If you're a big company and you have the money and you don't know the Drupal experience, maybe you don't want that. Maybe you're willing to pay. And that's what iTunes showed us, is that, you know, I could go out and BitTorrent and find a song tomorrow, but, you know, I just want the experience of like having it go right to my iPod and iTunes. And I know I could get it for free, but I don't want to do it. I'm willing to pay. And I don't think the artist complains about that.
And so what is it that people are actually buying as an app? I mean, I know that there are some models out there with top-notch themes, for example, where the code that they're writing is GPL. You can share the code, but it's actually like the CSS and the images that are kind of like the things that you're buying. It's the things that are copyrighted. So are people buying a user experience design?
I think they're buying user experience and convenience. Frankly, I think it's just, You know, it's still GPL stuff. All the open source rights apply. It's just, it's a better delivery mechanism for some people that they might be willing to pay money for. And everyone else, they just go download it the way they would, you know, right now. So I don't think that it changes any of the ownership issues, really. You know what I mean? I think the downstream use of it doesn't change. It's still GPL. I think the way it's packaged and delivered and the convenience and the experience is what someone's actually buying versus the code. What's nice, though, is that if the developer is willing to do that and thinks there's a market for it, the developer actually makes money instead of right now where they don't make money. And they can still contribute the modules and underlie it as open source. And so really they get the best, easy for me to say, I think they get the best of both worlds. I think they get to contribute stuff to Drupal community that the rest of us who are savvy enough to use modules could use, and they get to package them as apps for people that aren't, and those people will pay them.
Yeah, and just on the way up here, I asked if you had heard the Lullabot podcast, and you hadn't sort of listened to the App Store debate. How are you going to be listening to the Drupal community and what the concerns are? And then what is the forum for this conversation to happen? Because it seems like it was kind of a weather balloon that was floated, and, you know, is it going to really happen? At the time, we were like, I don't think Akwe could do it. But, you know, here you are, you're coming in, you're doing it. So, like, how are you going to listen to what the big concerns are as you're moving forward here?
Yeah, no, that's very valid. I mean, first of all, just to say, I mean, we're not doing, like, a app store. So I think that word is the hot button right now. What we are trying to do is extend the features module and the module paradigm that we have right now to work in a better way with the distributions that we have, which is 4 distributions, which is a fraction of the Drupal community. We're certainly not saying that we're creating the app store for Drupal. We're certainly not saying that, you know, every Drupal site will use the stuff that we're building. I mean, most Drupal sites don't use features and things like that anyway. They just use modules. So I think what we're really trying to do is maybe just provide a little bit of thought leadership, maybe a little bit of technical experimentation, and maybe work out some kinks that we have in the way that functionality is delivered within our distros, and then hope that that informs everyone about the things they need to be thinking and doing from a customer perspective. To bring that full circle to how we listen to the Drupal community, I mean, we don't listen to anyone other than the Drupal community and our clients, and we just channel, like any other person who's a consultant in this space, we just channel stuff back and forth between those two parties, you know? You learn in the Drupal community at DrupalCon and everywhere from IRC all the way up to, you know, listening to podcasts that are increasingly being professionally produced around this stuff. You learn the pulse of what people are doing so that you can take those pieces and deliver good work to clients. On the other side, you take the work you do for clients and you say, which aspects of this are useful that we're hearing from the business community, which aspects of this are useful to contribute to Drupal. And so we're sort of this, we kind of have this two stakeholder back and forth thing going on. And this is something we're hearing from both sides. And we have a mechanism in the middle that's the best positioning to boat that between the two parties. So we're just mixing up and doing it. And you know what? It might fail. I don't know. But I think it's going to be a valuable discussion in both directions.
Yeah, and just, and when we did the podcast, there was actually more people on the podcast who saw it was a positive thing. And we almost had to kind of like talk about the theory and from a theoretical perspective what the negative aspects were. But the thing that did happen from Robert's floating of the weather balloon was that you could see that people either really loved it or really, really hated it. It was sort of like really a bifurcation of passion and intensity. So I just wanted to sort of put that out there in terms of like the reaction that this idea brought up a lot of concern. So
yeah, no, I know it had. And the original, the Twitter streams that came out, I definitely read a lot and watched the stuff, looked at Robert's slides and talked to him a lot about what he talked about in Europe when he originally gave the presentation at the Brussels, the dev conference in Brussels. So it was a very big debate, and we weren't interested in being in the App Store debate, but we're definitely interested in being in the how do we create mechanisms to deliver this functionality discussion. And so yeah, maybe we stuck our nose in the in the honey pot, or I don't know what the right analogy here. I'm like mixing metaphors here. But you know, to some extent, I think we have to. You know, these distributions, they're the way that we are giving the Drupal experience to the outward community and our customers, and vice versa. So this is it's a really cool piece of functionality, by the way, that we wrote. And I'm not to belittle it, but you know, I just think that it's just a very natural evolution. And I don't think anybody was too far away from doing this, but the way they built it, it's just what we all need and expect from our iPhone. And I come back to this thing, I'm like, if we're the open source equivalent of, say, the Apple world, do we really think that we can sell a lot more iPhones by saying, oh, to install a piece of functionality in this phone, you go over here and then you install this one, you install that one, you install this one has dependency on that, and you need a master's degree in Drupal to put them all together so that that little Google Maps thing icon that shows up on your thing. You know, that just wouldn't work. We all know it. And so what I asked the audience in the discussion yesterday is, do you really think that the experience that people have adding and manipulating functionality in Drupal right now is optimal, right? And if you don't, what are your incentives not to make it better? Challenge yourself. Are you a consultant whose vested interest is to ensure that no one else can install Drupal functionality in an easy way? Because that's the way you're going to make money. That's fine. I get that. I have a very large services company. We depend exclusively on our ability to be experts in lots of things, not just Drupal, but somewhat in Drupal too. I understand why that's scary. But at the same time, if you think that you're going to be relevant in 3 to 5 years, if that's your only offering, is that you know the keys to the kingdom and no one else does, forget it. You're out of business already. Someone else will come in at a lower cost and they'll take the hourly stuff from you. Some big company will come in from the top and they will make more sophisticated engagements for those customers that they will pick them over you. And you will have nothing left. So it's kind of an evolve or don't evolve thing for a lot of people. But you know, to be afraid of change is fine. But honestly, like, that's the experience that we all know people need from Drupal. And if you're not willing to give it, then are you working with Drupal or against Drupal?
So because you're kind of like innovating in this space, and a lot of people listening to this may get very excited and want to come help out and work, and you know, Drupal talent is sort of, you know, very scarce. And so as you're scaling out your company, what type of jobs and job descriptions are you going to need in order to kind of like respond to the demand that's coming in?
Yeah, so I mean, we are definitely a services company and will be for a long time. And none of this, you know, this is experimentation at a certain level, but it doesn't change our core business. So we always look for developers, really good developers. And one of the ways we do that is we look outside the Drupal community. We try to find really talented people and we bring them in and we teach them Drupal instead of picking from a small pot of available people here. We think it's healthier and we think it's better for us in the long run in the community. We also really need a lot more project managers and product managers. So people that can engage with clients and understand exactly what they're trying to get out of Drupal and then be able to manage a development team to deliver that for them. Those are the big things. We actually don't have a sales force, so to speak, but I think increasingly as we do more and more implementations of distributions at lower price points than we did before, we're going to be forced to actually have some people that can at least vet and refer a lot of the work. And we refer a ton of work out to other Drupal shops, and we want to make sure that we're not turning people away. So just people that can qualify, sales opportunities are very important to us, but we don't need anybody to go out and market and sell at this point. We're not trying to create more demand. We're really just trying to service the demand that's there.
Cool. And finally, you just released the open public distribution, and that, to me, could create your entire business of just government sites. There seems to be so many governments that are turning over to Drupal right now. So what do you hope to see with this open public distribution?
Yeah, so open public, what we really want to see more than anything is reducing the barriers to adoption of Drupal in government everywhere. And the only way we can think of to do that right now is to show them sort of the best practices, give them a distribution and say, this is a really good way to get started. If you don't know where to start, we've thought about a lot of the problems you have, and we've baked that stuff in, and we've pulled the things from the community that are the best. You know, it's about accessibility, it's about security, and frankly, it's just about, you know, pre-building themes and content types that are government-y, the stuff that they need at a Drupal. We think that if we can get that over to them in a way that looks like the right tool, that it will really enhance the adoption of Drupal in government. And as someone who does services in that space, that would be a very big lift for us and everyone else.
Okay, well, great. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks.